Turn again in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. That's a fairly easy one to find. First book in the Bible, Genesis, and it's chapter 13. So this past couple of weeks we have been looking at the life and times of Abram, and here we come to our third in the series, chapter 13. I've entitled it A Tale of Two Men, or Compare the Pair. We're comparing Abram and Lot. Genesis chapter 13. Let's hear the word of God. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. I'm sure that most of us are familiar with the ad, "Compare the Pair." Two workers are sitting beside each other, perhaps on a park bench. They're the same age. They have worked for the same length of time for the same company. They have the same income. They make the same contributions to superannuation. But after 15 years, one has 15,000 more in his super account than the other. How come? Because one, you see, is a member of the industry super fund, whereas the other is not. And this chapter compares the pair, Abram and Lot. And they too have much in common. They were of the same family. They were related. Abram was the uncle of Lot. They both left Haran and traveled to the land of Canaan. Both traveled down to Egypt because of the famine. Both returned from Egypt. Both were now very wealthy with cattle and herds. Both were believers. But by the end of this chapter, and as a result of the choice that they made, one will be on a downward slippery slope, losing spiritual credit, while the other, Abram, will be continually, steadily walking on with the Lord, increasing in spiritual credit. Compare the pair. One is out longing for a city which is built by men. The other, Abram, is longing for a city built by God. Now, as we compare the pair, it would be easier for me as a preacher to say that as we look at these two men, one was a believer, Abram obviously, and the other was an unbeliever. But that would not be true. Because Peter the Apostle tells us that Lot was a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. So it's a rather confusing as we read this account. You could easily come to the conclusion, Lot, by the choices he made and by his apparent lifestyle, he gives every sign of being an unbeliever. And yet he's not. He is a believer. Not a very good one, mind you. He is a believer who fails miserably. But then that shouldn't altogether surprise us. Because as last Lord's Day we were looking at Abram down in Egypt, and Abram, the man of faith, our father in the faith, he lived like an unbeliever. He said to his wife, "Now, just say you're my sister." He was a deceiver and a liar. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we come to Lot here and we see him living like an unbeliever. And so as we compare the pair, Abram and Lot, and think of these two men today, here are two believers. But one is an example to us and a challenge to us. And the other, Lot, is a warning to us. And so the challenge of this message this morning is largely to believers. There will be a word, there will be a challenge for the unbeliever. Keep listening. But the challenge for all of us is to be exercising faith and obedience as Abram did. Now the chapter begins by recounting Abram's return from Egypt. Abram returned, you might say, from Egypt with his tail between his legs. He returned sadder but wiser. Here was a man who obviously had learned from his disaster down in Egypt, because we see that when he did return to the Negev, to the land of Canaan, that he ultimately didn't stop, didn't rest, until he came to near Bethel. And there he came to the place where he first built an altar. And what are altars for? Altars are places of worship. Altars are places of sacrifice. And so I have no doubt that when Abram came to that place, to that altar that he had built prior, years before, he made a sacrifice. He confessed his sin, his unworthiness, his deceit, and asked God's forgiveness. And is there forgiveness with God? Of course. The psalmist says, "There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." So Abram is now back on track. He had wobbled, he had wavered, but now he is back walking with the Lord, walking by faith. But it seems that no sooner was he back on his feet again, walking with the Lord, but he's clobbered with another problem. Whoever said that living the Christian life was easy? So this problem comes unexpectedly. The problem last Lord's Day we saw in chapter 12 was the problem of famine. But now the problem this week is the problem of wealth. Now you might say, some problem. That's a problem I would like to have. But this was a problem, I'm sure, that Abram, when he was leaving Haran, could never, ever have foreseen. He could never have foreseen the day that he was going to be a rich man. In fact, both these men, Abram and Lot, ironically, returned from Egypt very, very wealthy. You see, sometimes sin appears to pay. And they did come out of Egypt with lots of cattle and herds and sheep and so on. So they were very, very wealthy. But this wealth had its own problems. Because as a result of the fact of having so many cattle and herds, there wasn't enough grazing or there wasn't enough water for all their herds and all their cattle. And so arguments erupted between their people. And no doubt tension was created between Abram and Lot. And so relationships were very tense and strained. Now these were two believers, remember. And it's never a good thing when believers are at odds with each other. And it's never a good look before the watching world. Because we just note the little note that the writer Moses says, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land at that time. In other words, they were observing, look at these two men. These are Jehovah's men. These are believers. And see how they love one another. Look at the bickering. Look at the fighting. And so it's never a good thing when it spills over and the world is watching. It just gives the unbeliever fodder to ridicule and to rubbish and to reject the faith. There's nothing to this Christianity. If these people can't even get on together, I wouldn't believe. And it's a sad fact that many people will never listen to what any believer says because of what some believers are. This was a very poor witness that Lot and Abram and their people were presenting to the Canaanites. The story was told of two Christian ladies who had to share the same office, but they fought like cats and dogs. One always wanted the window open, and the other wanted the window closed. "I feel like I'm going to suffocate in here," said the one. "I'm going to die of a cold," retorted the other. And finally, another worker came up with a suggestion. "Why don't you keep the window closed until one of you dies of suffocation, and then keep it open until the other dies of pneumonia? And then we'll have some peace around here." Well, we may smile, but it is true to life that when Christians have public disputes, it diminishes the testimony to our Lord. And we see here in our passage that Abram found this situation intolerable and unacceptable. We see Abram the peacemaker, verses 8 and 9. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers." Now we learn a lot here from Abram about conflict resolution, whether it's in a marriage between husband and wife, or whether it's in the family between siblings, whether it's between neighbors, whether it's in the church. We can learn a lot. Notice that Abram here took the initiative. He came and said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling." Why? Because he says, "We are brothers." Now that little phrase deserves to be underlined and highlighted, especially in the church. Let's not have any quarreling here. Remember who we are. We're not just of the same physical blood family. Yes, we were. They were related. But they were brothers. in the Lord. They were spiritual brothers. And that's a good reason why we should not have any quarreling. And we should remember that in our relationships with one another in the church. Let's not be quarreling, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, Abram could have come to Lot and said, "Now look here, young fellow, this land belongs to me. God promised me this land. He didn't promise it to you. You'll simply have to move on, Lot. Besides, remember who I am. I'm the senior man here, young fellow." Is that how Abram behaved? Is that how he spoke? Did he insist on his rights? Not at all. He surrendered his rights and sacrificed his personal interests. And when Abram did that, it was one of the most Christ-like actions he did. It reminds us of the Lord Jesus. The apostle says, your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as Christ Jesus. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up all those privileges and enjoyments he had. And he humbled himself and became a man, even humbling himself to the extent of death upon a cross. And this is what Abram was doing here. He was giving up his rights, giving up his privilege in order to resolve this dispute. You see, here's the lesson. Abram here took the initiative. There was a quarrel, there was an argument, there was a dispute. Abram took the initiative. He didn't wait for Lot to come to him. He took the initiative. And I don't know, but perhaps some of you are waiting for Lot to come to you. Don't wait any longer. You go to Lot. And you say, we should not be behaving like this. We are brothers. We are sisters. Let's sort this out. Remember Jesus' instruction, if you bring your gift to the altar and then you remember that you're something against your brother, what must you do? Leave your gift there. Leave the church. Go and be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Paul urges us that we must be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a lovely thing that we do have the unity of the saints. And thank God we do enjoy it here in this congregation, but we don't take it for granted. Relationships, as we all know, are tricky things. And so we always need to be working at it, and we always need love and forgiveness. But the psalmist says, how wonderful it is, how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And so Abram said, look, let's not be quarreling. We are brothers. And then he gave Lot a very, very generous choice. He said, verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, that was a pretty generous offer, I would say. But I want you to notice why Abram was able and willing to make that offer to Lot. Only because Abram had already made a choice. He had chosen to trust the Lord. He would leave his future. He would leave his inheritance in the safe hands of God. Abram had learned a lesson down in Egypt. There in Egypt, he tried to manipulate things and work out things for himself, take things into his own hand. But now here we see that Abram is wiser, and he's not going to meddle, he's not going to try to manipulate the hand of God, but he's going to entrust himself completely in the promises of God. You see, God had already promised Abram the land. And so Abram is here demonstrating in this generous offer to Lot, he's indicating that no matter ultimately what or where Lot chose, it didn't in the long term matter, because Abram was confident that the Lord would still give him the land and keep his promise. This was Abram, metaphorically, standing on the promises of God. This is Abram the believer. And this is what we're all called to do if we're children of God. We are called to live by faith, trusting in the Word of God, in the promises of God. And it's a wonderful way to live. It is the way of freedom. It's the way the Lord has intended us to live. We're not to be busy worrying about this, that, or the other. As Jesus said, worrying about clothes or what you have to wear or this, that, and the other. Look, our Heavenly Father knows all these things. Look at the birds, how He feeds them, and look at the flowers, how they're beautifully decorated and colored, so He can provide for you. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6, he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Yes, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And this is what Abram was now demonstrating, living by faith. This was Abram's choice, to live by faith in the Word of God. But then notice, secondly, Lot, the prophet seeker. I'm looking now at verses 10 to 13. Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So these two men were standing up on a high hill, a mountain, near Bethel. There was a tremendous view. It was about 3,000 feet high, less than 1,000 meters high, so it was high. And it afforded a great view over the Jordan Valley as the river flowed into the Dead Sea. And as Lot looked up, he looked over the valley, and he could just see a garden. It was lush, it was green, it was fertile. It just reminded him of the Nile Delta. It was beautiful. A bit like Eve when she saw the fruit. Lot saw a land that was good and pleasing to the eye, and also good for making oneself rich. And so when Lot looked up, he saw a once-in-a-lifetime investment opportunity, and he looked with envy, and in his mind's eye, he saw large herds of Herefords and Angus and Charolais cattle all waiting for the factory. And so Lot could just see dollar signs written all over the place. And he could also see security. He wouldn't have to go trooping down to Egypt again because of famine. There was plenty of water in the valley. And it was also security for his family. Here was an opportunity to provide a better life for the children, perhaps a better standard of education. There were cities down in the plain. There was more opportunity, a greater exposure to the culture of the place. It all seemed good, so Lot jumped at the opportunity. So we read in verse 11, so he chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan. It seemed to be a very savvy commercial decision. He must have thought Uncle Abram had gone a bit soft. Did Abram not know the value of land and water? Or he may have thought to himself, well, Abram has already more than me, so this will even things up. We don't really know what Lot thought, but we know that he chose the valley for himself. And they parted, and Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain. It seemed a very smart, shrewd, clever move. But if you read the text carefully, as we should, the inspired writer, who we believe was Moses, inserts little warning lights, and they're flashing. If you look at your text, you can almost see them flashing. They're like those neon lights. And so the writer's not going to tell us, look, dear reader, this decision that Lot made was incredibly foolish. He doesn't say that. But he wants you to read the text and come to that decision yourself, because he puts those little indicators in order to inform us. For example, he says in verse 10, the land looked like Egypt. But what was Egypt? Look at the previous chapter. Egypt was the land of compromise. And then a little indicator in verse 10. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what was Sodom and Gomorrah? It was the city of destruction, the very place where Bunyan's Christian was fleeing from. And yet here is Lot, who's clamoring to get there, to the city of destruction. And then there's another little flashing warning light in verse 11. Moses says, he set out toward the east. Now that's just more than a geographical statement, because every time we read that phrase,